Redemptor Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Monday, June 20th, Pope Francis urges the world not to forget the plight of Syrians and of Christians in the Middle East. The Pope says the pandemic has shown the Church how important it is to evangelize in the digital realm, and the bishops of Colombia offer well wishes to Gustavo Petro after he won a runoff to clinch the presidency. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins. Pope Francis met today with members of the Synod of Bishops of the Great Melkite Catholic Church who were meeting in Rome this week. The Pope urged the bishops to seek to unite Christians in the Middle East and to always beware of destructive chatter. He also called on people around the world not to forget the destruction wreaked by Syria's civil war, as Francesca Merlo reports.
The Holy Father opened his discourse to the bishops of the Patriarchal Church of Antioch of the Greek Melkites by noting the bishops asked to celebrate their annual convocation in Rome at the tombs of the holy apostles Peter and Paul. The Pope noted that some of the successors of Peter were born in Syria. This, he explained, makes our minds travel as pilgrims to the land where some of you, starting with the Patriarch Yusuf, are bishops, the beloved and tormented Syria. In recent months, we have turned our gaze to the east of Europe, said the Pope, but this must not make us forget what has been going on for 12 years in your land. He recalled a night of prayer called for during his first year as Pope in St. Peter's Square, where many Muslims joined and prayed for Syria. With Syria in mind, Pope Francis went on to speak of Christians in the Middle East, stressing that there is rightfully concern for their survival. Their plight is a challenge, he said, noting on the other hand that for decades now, the presence of the Melkite Church has had a worldwide dimension. Although there are many obstacles, said the Pope, it is also a great opportunity, that of remaining rooted in your own traditions and origins, while being open to listening to the times and places in which you are scattered, in order to respond to what the Lord is asking of your church today. Turning then his thoughts to the synod the bishops are holding in Rome, the Pope encouraged them to exercise their competencies wisely. The Pope took some time to discourage the bishops from chatter. Please, he urged, if someone has something to say to another, say it to their face. Never speak ill of the other with another, concluded the Pope, as it is a woodworm that destroys the church. Let us be brave and find real unity, stressed the Pope, and he blessed the Synod of the Greek Melkite Church and entrusted the bishops to the Holy Virgin. I'm Francesca Merlo.
Pope Francis has penned the preface for a book entitled Church in the Digital, which offers tutorials for the church that is also present in the digital world. The tools in the book hope to promote a more listening and effective communication among God's people and encourages formation about the importance and risks of the digital world. Father Benedict Maiocchi has the story.
The new book, Church in the Digital, is edited by Fabio Bolzetta and published by Tau Editrice, with a preface written by Pope Francis. It is born of the experience of the Association of Italian Catholic Webmasters and offers tools and proposals to discover, reflect upon, and share on social networks the experience of the Church, which is also present in the digital world. In the preface for Church in the Digital, Pope Francis notes that the difficult period of the pandemic has made it clear that we will only come out of this crisis together, but has also made us realize how useful technological tools and social networks can be. The Pope thus highlights the importance of formation in the use of these tools as some of the changes that have taken place because of the more frequent use of technology for virtual encounters are likely to remain long after the pandemic is over. Reflecting further on periods of lockdown during the pandemic, the Pope noted that it was no longer possible to celebrate the Eucharist together or to be close to our sick loved ones, putting us in confrontation with our constitutive fragility. He said that the period also brought forth several efforts to keep human and community relationships alive, including the efforts of priests who made use of technologies and social networks to keep God's people in touch with His Word and offer the possibility of attending Mass online. It is in this context that the Association of Italian Catholic Webmasters over the past 2 years has met and helped priests of all ages who are committed, even through new technologies, to keep the communities entrusted to them alive, thereby promoting the growth of the use of digital tools in pastoral care. In this regard, Church in the Digital offers tutorials on the church and digital communications, designed also for priests whose generosity and spontaneity during the pandemic must now be accompanied by appropriate training. Pope Francis stressed that there is much to be done to grow together in awareness of the importance, but also the risks involved involved in the use of these tools of digital communications. He added that although virtual encounters do not and cannot replace the beauty of face-to-face encounters, the digital world is also inhabited by Christians who can be protagonists of new forms of social and more human communication, which is more capable of listening and true sharing. I'm Father Benedict Mayaki.
In Colombia, Gustavo Petro has been declared the victor in Sunday's presidential runoff election with just over 50% of the vote. In response, the country's Catholic bishops have offered him their well wishes, saying the church will continue to help the government work for peace and reconciliation. Archbishop Luis José Rueda Aparicio of Bogotá took to social media on Sunday evening to congratulate Mr. Petro on his election victory and all Colombians for carrying out a peaceful, democratic election. He said the process shows voters' maturity and love for Colombia. There are many things to correct in a campaign like the one we have just lived, said Archbishop Rueda Aparicio, saying it is important to look to the future of Colombia while continuing to fight for life, peace, and integral human development. As James Blears reports, President-elect Petro went from a former rebel to a senator and now to the presidency.
Gustavo Petro will become Colombia's first left-leaning president, winning the top job on his third attempt. The second-round runoff was a close-run thing. With most of the votes counted, he won 50.4% of the vote, while Maverick, 77-year-old independent candidate Rodolfo Hernandez, got 47.27%. Hernandez has swiftly and graciously conceded with congratulations and best wishes. Outgoing President Iván Duque, who defeated Petro last time around, has agreed to a meeting with him during the coming days to discuss a smooth and efficient transition. In his youth, Gustavo Petro, who's now 62, was a member of the M19 guerrilla group. He was arrested, jailed, and then granted an amnesty. A former mayor of the capital Bogotá and currently a senator, he'll now rule the entire country. During the election, he promised to tackle corruption, reform taxes, improve pensions, and provide free tuition in public universities. Poverty and inequality in Colombia have increased, especially since the scourge and blight of COVID-19. Colombians are now watching and waiting and hoping that he makes good on his promises, as he says he will. For Vatican Radio, James Blair's reporting.
In Brazil, the boat used by murdered British journalist Dom Phillips and Brazilian indigenous expert Bruno Pereira were to travel into the Amazon rainforest was found on Sunday evening. Authorities said the speedboat was submerged under 20 meters of water under the Itoacai River in the Amazon in northern Brazil with the help of six sandbags. Brazilian federal police have also announced five more suspects who have helped hide the bodies of Messrs. Phillips and Pereira after having already arrested three men for their murder. In Europe, voters returned to the polls in France on Sunday, electing representatives for the National Assembly, the lower house of parliament. President Emmanuel Macron's Ensemble coalition lost its outright majority, while both political extremes made substantial gains, as Stefan Bos reports.
Final results from the Interior Ministry on Monday showed that French President Emmanuel Macron faces an uncertain political future. His centrist Ensemble, or Together, alliance won only 245 seats in the Assembly. That is well short of the 289 needed for the outright majority Macron had enjoyed since 2017. The Prime Minister he had only recently appointed, Elisabeth Borne, warned that the situation was unprecedented. This situation represents a risk for our country, given the risks we are facing nationally and internationally, she says, and she wants to work to build a working majority in Parliament. But that is easier said than done. The left-green alliance formed by far-left politician Jean-Luc Mélenchon, the New Ecological and Social People's Union, NUPES, was supported by many young urban voters. They emerged as the leading opposition group with 131 members in the 577-seat chamber, prompting celebrations. It is the total defeat of the president's party, and there is no majority, says leftist leader Mélenchon. He tells supporters, long live France, long live the Republic. Shouts of joy were also heard among supporters of Marine Le Pen's far-right Rassemblement National Party. It received a whopping 89 seats. That is more than 10 times as many as the 8 it secured in the previous legislative elections, noticed Le Pen. Beyond the parliamentary group, we will pursue the work of bringing together the French people within a big popular movement, Le Pen says. The conservative Les Républicains and its partners won 74 seats. The outcome of the parliamentary elections came after the head of the French Bishops' Conference had already warned of growing social divisions following the recent re-election of President Macron. Archbishop Éric de Moulin-Bouffon of Reims expressed concern about an increasing rupture, which he said was geographical but also separated those above from those below. He said that this is worrying for France's future. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
In Ukraine, Russian forces captured territory along a frontline river in the east today, as President Vladimir Zelensky predicts that Moscow will escalate attacks ahead of a summit of European leaders. EU leaders are expected to welcome Kyiv's bid to join the EU at that summit. Pro-Russian separatists have claimed to have captured Toshkivov, south of Severodonetsk, which has become the main battlefield city in recent weeks. Meanwhile, several European Union countries are pushing to start work on a new package of sanctions against Russia and Belarus for the invasion of Ukraine. And finally, the Pope has written the preface to the French translation of a book entitled Pope Francis and the Roman Missal for Dioceses in Zaire. The book was written by Sister Rita Mboshu Kongo and edited by the Vatican Publishing House. In his preface, the Pope praised the Roman Missal for Congo as the only truly enculturated since the Second Vatican Council. Lisa Zingardini has more.
Pope Francis welcomes the publication of Le Pape François et le Missel Romain pour les Diocèses du Zaïre, written by Congolese sister Rita Mboshu Kongo. In his preface to the book, he highlights the inestimable contribution of liturgy to the transmission of the faith the Congolese people have inherited from their ancestors. He further remarks that the missal for use in the Congolese dioceses is the only enculturated Roman missal born of the liturgical reform of the Second Vatican Council, noting it is the fruit of long years of research, experience, and fruitful collaboration between the Holy See and the Church in Congo. The Holy Father points out that it has perfectly achieved the objectives assigned to it. The Missel Romain pour les Diocèses du Zaïre allows the Congolese to pray in their language with their body and soul and to use symbols that are familiar to them, he says. The Pope therefore proposes the Congolese rite of the celebration of the Eucharist as a model for other churches seeking an appropriate liturgical expression to the enculturation of the gospel. Concluding his preface, Pope Francis invites the Congolese church to commit herself in the same way to the translation and adaptation of the rites of the sacraments and sacramentals. The publication of the book comes in the context of Pope Francis' scheduled apostolic journey to Africa in early July, which had to be postponed because of his ongoing knee pain. I am Lisa Zingarini.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, go to our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. Many thanks go to our sound engineers in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins.